Need more remote controls. It's okay. Yeah, I know you can't see it then with down there. Okay. I'm going to actually continue from last week by backing up. Well, I'm going to end up in First Chronicles again, but before we do that, I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. Because I touched on this a little bit last week, but as happens, after you're done preaching a message, sometimes you realize what you didn't say sometimes. And actually, now there's a very good reason for this. One, there are actually two things I want to look at today if I get a chance. The second one I had in my notes I didn't get to. This one I did not have this point in my notes, but it hit me after the services while we were standing around talking and or on the way home sometime or the other. So I talked to Walter about it and I said, I got to do something with this because it's there. And I didn't see it when I was reading it before. But 1 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And I'm just going to stop right there, because the point I want to talk to is in verse 3. Now, like I said, when I was reading this, and because I wanted to look where David was writing this psalm in 1 Chronicles, it was about the return of the ark. It was the celebration of that. So I wanted to go back and look at why the ark disappeared. And I said it last week, part of it was the sins of Israel, part of it was the sins of Eli, because of his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and Eli didn't stop them. But you also see here that the Israelites were getting whipped by the Philistines. They were being smitten. And the elders of Israel had it right. They said, we are being smitten by the Lord. That's where it was coming from. And that should have been their first clue. They had that part right, but the next part, they were wrong. They were dead wrong about it. So then when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore has the Lord smitten us today? They admitted it. They knew they were being smitten by the Lord, but they didn't act like it. Because what did they say after that? They said, hey, let's get the ark. It'll give us victory. They didn't fall on their faces before God. They didn't call for a prophet to give them the word of the Lord. Samuel's renown had gone out now. That there was. Before Samuel, there was a dearth of the word of God. It was, well, where is it? Chapter 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So when Samuel received the word of the Lord, it became a thing. The Lord was speaking to Israel again. But these elders didn't call upon God. They said, let's get the ark. Now, there's nothing wrong with the ark. The ark was made for a certain specific purpose, and it fulfilled its purpose fine. I almost said perfectly, but it's not. It was a type. But that was the purpose of it. It was to be a type. And it did that just fine. But when they look and they tell, say it out loud, the Lord has smitten us, let's get the ark. Why didn't they say, the Lord has smitten us, let's beg him for forgiveness? They didn't rend their garments, they didn't put dirt on their head, and they did not seek forgiveness from the Lord. They didn't pray or call upon the Lord, Yahweh. Walter, they didn't even contemplate at this time, as far as we can read here, that they might be the problem. They didn't ask why the Lord had smitten them. God doesn't do anything without a reason. God doesn't do anything that's not on purpose. His purpose. They didn't call upon his name. They were thinking of and treating the ark of the Lord God of Israel as if it were an idol. We'll bring it. And what does it say? It may save us. Who saves? It doesn't. Whatever it is, he saves. That was the end of David's, the middle there of David's psalm. Proclaim it night and day, his salvation. They thought the ark could save them if it was the Lord smiting them. The ark can't save. As I said last week, the ark had no power of its own. The ark was protected by the power of God. Walter, you can't use a type to overcome reality. Salvation is his. Forgiveness is his. The Lord was smiting us. The ark can't save us. The ark was not a rabbit's foot to be brought out and rubbed. Wish Mary Lilly was here because I'd say it. The ark is not a radio to God. That's also from Raiders of the Lost Ark. People get this mysticism toward anything old in a lot of ways. See? The ark was a box with a lid on it called the mercy seat. It went before the people of Israel in the procession, but above it was the pillar of fire or the cloud of smoke. That was the presence of the Lord. That's where the power is, in the Lord, not the box. But here they are, the elders of Israel, doing this. Walter, I wonder why the Lord was smiting them. I wonder why it could possibly be. God leads the ark. The ark doesn't lead God. I mean, it is possible that they were thinking, possibly, But I have nothing written here that to placate the Lord by bringing the ark. But they thought wrong, because it didn't work. They still didn't ask the Lord for forgiveness for whatever they was being smitten for. And this is the whole point right here that I got. Now, I'm sure there's more, but this is what I got. What you have to remember, if you're being smitten by the Lord, it's your fault. It's your fault. If I'm being smitten by the Lord, it's my fault. If I'm being chastised by the Lord, it's because I need to be chastised. The fault is never with God. Ever. Never, ever, ever with God. In fact, sometimes we ought to be happy that it's not worse than what it is. But we're not built that way. We think anything's grievous. Yeah, it is. But afterwards, the chastening of the Lord yields the, what is it, peaceable fruit of righteousness. There's a purpose for it. But they didn't call upon the Lord. They didn't ask His mercy. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They did not repent. They said, let's get the ark. Maybe it'll save us. It didn't. They lost the battle, and they lost the ark, and that led us to the I got bad news and I got bad news situation. The bad news is we lost the ark, and the bad news for the Philistines was they got the ark. Man's deeds are never enough. The elders of Israel tried to do something. They didn't ask for forgiveness. They didn't beg for mercy. They tried to do something. And I'll tell you something. Doing something is never enough. There are things we are to do, but our doing is never enough. Man's deeds are never enough and never clean in God's sight. Salvation is of the Lord. The power is of our Lord God. That's the part I saw when I was thinking about it on the way home or somewhere last Sunday. Now, if you would, let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Because this is the part that was in my notes, but I didn't get to. There he is. Come on in.
Trapped in my car.
You could beep the horn. I got an umbrella back here. We come got you. First Chronicles chapter 15. This is after the first attempt to bring back the ark. And Uzzah got killed because he reached out his hand and touched the ark, trying to steady it so it wouldn't fall out of the cart. He was just doing his job that David had gave him to do. But he touched the ark of God, and God immediately killed him. There was all kind of bad things happened to people around that ark while it was out and about. Poor old Dagon lost his head. People got boils and plagues and everything else, and people died. Uzzah touched it. Uzzah shouldn't have been in that position. That's what David found out. First Chronicles 15 and verse 12. 3 months later. And when they had left their... Well, I guess verse 11. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Am I reading the right thing? I'm in 14. It's great. I'm really happy about that, but it's not what I wanted. I was reading 14. Sorry. First Chronicles 15, verse 12. Yeah, it was a different version. That was the Young's literal wrong chapter. All right. First Chronicles 15, 12. And said unto them, David talking. And I left out verse 11 because of all the names. And David said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. And after that, they didn't have any more trouble. They got it in. The Lord our God made a breach unto us. For one thing, I like that phrase, the Lord our God. Yahweh our Elohim. Yahweh is the name of the Lord, and Elohim means God. But the best part about that is that our in the middle.
Yeah.
We can say that.
Yeah.
David said it. Believers can say it. But he made a breach with us. The Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the one who never changes, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He's not changing. He's God. And all other gods are idols. That's why David burned them in chapter 14. But he's not Elohim to everyone. He is Elohim. But he's ours. We can claim him because he's claimed us. You can't claim him if he hasn't claimed you. But we can claim him if he's claimed us. But he set a breach upon us. This ark is his. The ark of the Lord God of Israel. That's what David called it. Because that's what it was. His ark. And we sought it not after the due order. Yes, this ark was made by men, but it was made according to the design and the plan and for the purpose of the Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God. It was set apart and cleansed for his use. And I said last week, it carried the unbroken law, the resurrection shown in the rod that budded, and the bread from heaven. manna in a golden cup. Jesus Christ, all three. It showed forth in type. That means not in reality. In type. It was a real thing, but it was a type of what was to come. The perfection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the atonement was made over it upon the mercy seat which sat on top of it. This was his ark. And David did not handle it correctly. With the respect of the type. The Levites weren't even supposed to be touching it. They didn't touch it. They touched the staves to carry it. The other thing I thought about just in passing is the Lord made the breach. You know, Walter, I can't make a breach with God. I don't have that kind of power. But he'll make a breach. But he seals breaches. Uzzah touched the ark. It was the fault of man. Now, Uzzah shouldn't have been in that cart. The ark shouldn't have been in that cart. But they were. David found this out later. Yahweh had put a division between them because they followed not after the due order. Because we sought him not according to the due order, after the due order. The instructions for handling the ark and for dealing with the ark of the covenant were given at the same time by Moses throughout for the instructions for the whole tabernacle in the wilderness. It was built according to those instructions. It was handled according to those instructions. Somehow, somewhere, that knowledge got lost. The ark was gone 20 years. Was it 20 years and 10 months? Or 20 years and 7 months? Ignorance is no excuse ever. That's how serious God is about his work, his ark here. You think if Uzzah knew he'd have touched that ark? I don't think so. If David knew, had he would have put that ark in that thing? No, he didn't know. He didn't know. Nobody knew. God still requires his order, period. Because God does everything perfectly and in order and in time. Good intentions are never enough. Ignorance is no excuse. Matter of fact, in this case, ignorance will get you killed. The breach came upon them, but it came from the Lord. It came from God. Because it is either God's way or no way. And that's it. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you want to know. It doesn't matter. I do care sometimes. But I mean, I don't care all the time. But I do care sometimes. But it doesn't matter. God does things in His order. Walter's been talking about the order for the table that we're about to do here this morning. There is an order. Now, I don't think God will kill us. But we want to do things in God's order. That's why we try to read and to study this. That's why David, after Uzzah got killed, he found out. Somebody checked it out. And David came to this conclusion, we sought him not after the due order. That was our problem. And guess what? He fixed it. It is God's way or no way. And of course, what comes to mind with this, where it says, we sought him not after the due order. I know there are lots of people probably seeking after God right now. But they're not seeking after the due order. Because Jesus Christ told us of two ways. There's a broad way and a narrow way. And there's a broad way, many are on it. And they don't know it. But it leads to destruction. But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. There are two ways. There's God's way, and there's every other way, which is no way. And it's broad. I mean to tell you, it's broad. Jesus Christ said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guess what? That's due order. That's the due order. No man comes unto the Father but by me. David found this out. There are not many ways to God. Bringing the ark back to where it was supposed to be is a good thing. But you got to carry it out. You have to carry the ark on the shoulders of the priests. The ark spoke of perfection and redemption, but unless the high priest carried out the instructions of the Lord on offering a blood offering for himself and then a blood offering for the people, the Day of Atonement didn't happen. There is a due order. And it is important to God. And there is a due order in the salvation of His people. Now, quit again. in this psalm, the next chapter. David starts it, verse 8, chapter 16, and I'm actually in 16 this time. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. They did that when they told us that God killed Uzzah for touching the ark. I am surprised and not surprised sometimes. In this book, not only do you get the good stuff, you get the bad stuff. You will get how they failed in the past. Remember all his works. The punishment for our failures and the mercy and the grace from him. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. And sing unto the Lord all the earth, is verse 23. Show forth from day to day his salvation. There are no psalms in this book. I mentioned this to Walter on the phone the other day. There are no psalms in this book written to the ark. They're written to the Lord. We are to sing unto him who is able to save. Those Israelites sent for the ark, they thought it could save. They were wrong. Salvation is of the Lord and no one else. And he performs his salvation per his due order. He gives it as he sees fit to his chosen people. And then he instructs us and converts us and chastises us. Why? Because we need it. We need it. If God hadn't killed Uzzah, they'd have just hauled that cart all the way back up to Jerusalem. But God wanted to teach David something about his due order. And teach us something, hopefully. He's got one. That's what most people don't realize. He's got one. And I got to quit. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come and did give himself, gave his life, laid it down and took it back up, and offered the perfect sacrifice for sin forever, and redeemed his people from their sin, and is now calling them by name to their salvation, which is his salvation. In Christ's name, thank you. Amen.